and I'm going to talk about Barclay courses. Now, in the first place, I went to the secondary school, got to the fourth year, and I'll tell you how I got a job at Barclay courses. A lady came along. I was in the office class, commercial, so I had to do an office job. I queued up with all my friends in a queue to see the lady who'd got a list of jobs going. I looked down the list when I got there and I said, "Ah, Barclay Corsets is near my house, I'll have that one." So then went for an interview where there were two managers interviewing me. I don't think they were used to interviewing anybody, so I got the job in the accounts department. Now, Barclay Corsets was owned by Mr. and Mrs. Barclay, who lived in America, and they used to come over now and again, so we did meet them, came over to have a holiday and see how things were going, and they were very nice people. In about 1958-ish, another firm, they were bought up by a firm who the boss was Major Symington. Major Symington worked up in Northampton somewhere with his Liberty Bodies factory, and his brother, by the way, sold something like soups and things. He had a different factory. The wonderful thing about Barclay Corsets was it was pink and black. They were enormous, which I think were marble tiles, big tiles all the way from the top to about 4 foot from the bottom were pink, shiny tiles. And at the bottom, there were black marble tiles. It looked really pretty. Inside, in the entrance hall where the receptionist stood, there was a beautiful spiked staircase sweeping up to the top floor, and hanging from the ceiling in there was the most magnificent chandelier. It was absolutely wonderful, and I don't know what happened to it when they moved. Barclay Corsets didn't just have one factory. They had another factory in Hitchin, in Wilbury Way, and they made braziers there. Now, to Barclay Corsets, they didn't employ them. They had corseteers all over England, UK, Wales, Scotland, and each of the corseteers came under a county. Their county had a number. I can still remember the numbers. Now, these ladies would go out to visit ladies, perhaps gentlemen, and measure them every little inch of measurement so they got a corset that actually fitted them. And then they would send these orders in, and people in the cutting room, which happened to be all men, would look at these measurements and measure each little inch and cut them out, then pass them on to the factory where there were many ladies with machines sewing the whole time. Then they were all doing the corsets. When the corsets were done, they'd all go back to the ladies who'd measured people, and I think they must have made their money not by getting paid by Barclay Corsets, but by selling them for a bit more than they having to pay for them. My job was writing or sending them all their statements every month, and I used to have to write or phone up, write to people who didn't pay. Not a good job. And even when I had to get their guarantors to pay and couldn't read their names, that was a bit difficult. Well, I began as a general office girl in 1951, and I earned £1.76 a week. Now, I went up from 1951 to 1964, where I became in charge of the office. So I'd gone up in the world there. I had to work, to begin with, I worked all the wages out. You had to work out how much the person was earning by counting up all their hours, taking off their tax and various things to get to a total that they were going to be paid. And the ladies in the factory that clocked in had money docked if they were late. So I had to add all the minutes up and take off those. And anyway, there were about 25 lines on the wage sheet. So one of the ladies said, "You're not allowed to use an adding machine. You are to do it in your head." So I learned to add these columns up in my head. I'd go from top to bottom, bottom to top, and hope that they balanced. And then we used it not... I don't think we had a canteen there. We also had a bike shed. Nobody had cars those days, so you cycled to put your bike in the bike shed.